WJAG.com.
Well, I always look forward to these visits with the good doctor, Dr. Verbicki. Keith Verbicki of Midwest Health Partners joins us in the studio. Dr. Verbicki, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
This morning in the morning, we have covered so many great topics going back to last spring. We've talked about the obesity epidemic. We've talked about the male infertility crisis. We talked about the miracle vitamin that prevents cancer, the cooking oil that's more toxic than tobacco. And I think last month we talked about your overall oral health and how that affects the rest of your body. So you can listen to all of those broadcasts. They're on our podcast page at WJG.com. So get caught up all with great information. But today we're going to talk about maybe a nation that's hung over probably from the lack of sleep, Doctor.
Well, indeed. We have an epidemic of sleep deprivation in our country, and it's leading to unprecedented increase in all the chronic illnesses that you see across America. The human body is supposed to sleep 7 to 9 hours per night. And
I'm screwed.
And if we don't, our metabolic energy of our body changes significantly. And statistically, we increase right away our risk of obesity, blood pressure problems, diabetes, heart disease risk goes significantly up if we sleep deprive. And then cancer and autoimmune illnesses and dementia. And so unfortunately, as a society, we don't take sleep as an important measure of our health. And it really is one of the biggest pillars of staying healthy, is to pay a lot of attention in getting good quality sleep.
I actually look forward to going to bed now. Is that a sign of age?
Yes.
I look at the clock and go, goody, an hour from now I get to go to bed.
That's a good sign.
What is contributing to our lack of sleep? Because there might be people who actually are going to bed and they just can't sleep.
Well, things we've talked about. And one of nature's biggest nutrients that helps put us to sleep at night is morning sun. You know, people don't pay attention to being out in the sun, as we've described before.
Yeah.
And if we go outside in the early morning hours, like about now, the sun is rising, and we spend just 10 minutes and let sun get into our eyes, there's a little gland between our eyes called the pineal gland. It produces melatonin, the quote, sleep hormone. We increase melatonin in the morning hours by this sun exposure. Mm. And then in the evening hours, when the light starts to go down, melatonin levels are high enough to help us start sleeping in a good fashion. By that, I mean we need good quality sleep. Deep sleep, which erases and gets rid of all the toxins in our brain, and then the REM sleep, which increases our memory by increasing the blood supply throughout the brain. So morning sun is really job one, and people are not doing that.
Are there other sources of melatonin that we can take advantage of? If, I don't know, if we're a third shift worker and we miss out on that stuff?
The interval training is the other good way of getting increased melatonin and of growth hormone. Growth hormone plays a big role in sleep too. It has to do with the endothelium of our arteries, the elasticity of our arteries. When we sleep deprived, we stop producing growth hormone in the brain, and endothelial dysfunction happens, and then our risk of heart disease and stroke significantly goes up.
Man, oh man, I'm not so good at working out during the summertime, busy with other things. I got back to a cycling class last night. It was the first one I went to in about a month, and I'm more of an evening workout guy. Obviously, I get up too early in the morning to work out. I don't want to work out at 3:30 in the morning, but man, oh man, that puts me to sleep.
Yeah.
So I don't know how people work out in the morning and then go to work. I don't think I could do that. If I do that, I'd go back home and I'd have to go back to sleep. But I will tell you, and I'm not pulling anybody's leg, you do feel different if you are exercising on a regular basis. And that doesn't necessarily have to be every single day, does it?
No, not at all. And it doesn't have to be for a long, long time either. There's a growing information about the type of exercise too. And our muscle is so important to the body. And they're advising that we spend a bit more time in strength training exercises rather than all the cardio that typically, you know, we enjoy doing, which is great. Continue to do that, but really start spending 5 to 10 minutes, maybe 3-4 times a week, on both upper body and lower body muscle resistant exercises. Plays huge dividends in the metabolic function of our body.
You know, and I have that argument with my wife because I like the cardio. So like if I go to spinning class, cycling, I get a lot of good cardio in about, you know, 30 or 40 minutes. But she's a fitness trainer. She loves, what's the class? Body Pump, and it's weights. And man, those classes are plumb full of people.
Yeah, and that's where it's at, really. I believe that the muscle stimulation that they are doing really enhances the ability of our body to deal with our blood pressure and control our blood sugars. So mm-hmm. Muscle-resistant exercise, very important.
This is probably an epidemic amongst kids, too, because we've talked a lot about these. I'm holding my phone up. We've been talking a lot about these smartphones and what the exposure to that screen does to our sleep.
Indeed, you know, it's very important. We tell patients all the time that the energy that our body is getting from these electronic devices is very deleterious to our health. And so typically sleep hygiene, try to be going to sleep about the same time every night. Make sure that you get away from these devices that are emitting blue light, if you can, 30 to 60 minutes before you're going to go to sleep. Mm. And then the room that you're sleeping in should be very, very dark. Let that melatonin really start going up. The room should be very cold. Our bedroom should be 65 to 68 degrees. In order to sleep well, our body needs to really, really cool down. And staying away from all of the stimulation of the light. Light has become a real disaster to our metabolic health. When the incandescent lights went away in 2016, the LED lights came on the scene.
Oh boy.
And indeed, it has really had a major negative impact on our ability to sleep, and then all of these other metabolic illnesses have just skyrocketed.
Isn't it amazing how we come across a piece of technology here that supposedly improves our life, and then we find out how it's wrecking it?
Amen. You know, I'm really concerned about the car accident rates too. When you look at just losing 1 hour of sleep, statistics show that that we're actually driving drunk. It's the equivalent of driving drunk, and you know, people don't realize that the drowsiness that we have, our reaction time, our ability to cognitive think and solve problems significantly goes down with just 1 hour of sleep deprivation. And some states, Kentucky, Minnesota, Wyoming, have really looked at this in children because they're having an unprecedented amount of car accidents, children driving to school. So what they did is they delayed the start of school in these states. And by delaying it 30 to 60 minutes, the number of car accidents of students going to school significantly went down, and their ability to learn significantly went up.
Okay, so then let's dive into this, because I've had this conversation with former Senator Tom Breezy, who's now the state treasurer. He was backing a bill in the Nebraska legislature to end daylight savings time, or to at least go to a daylight savings time year round, basically keep the clocks the same year round. How do you feel about that?
Well, here's the thing, and the data is in. It's daylight saving time, when we lose an hour of sleep in the summer and spring, mm-hmm. 24% increased risk the following Monday of heart attacks. Just 1 hour sleep loss.
He pointed that out.
Increasing the risk of heart attacks in that time. So I think it's very detrimental to our health just from the loss of sleep. And I think school teachers see it in the children at school as well. Mm-hmm. And so I would be in favor of not messing with God's creation of our circadian rhythm of our body. Listen to our body and let nature control it.
The question becomes is, which time do you stay on? Do you stay on regular time or do you stay on daylight savings time? And, you know, that has pros and cons both ways. If you stay on daylight savings time, and by the way, we can't take year-round daylight savings time until the feds say we can, which means we would have to stay on regular time, which is where we're going to go here in a couple of weeks. We're going to turn the clocks back an hour, which you should be getting an extra hour of sleep when this time change happens. The problem with that is in the summertime, the sun's coming up between 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm not so sure that's such a good thing either.
Yeah, you need blackout curtains.
But working through it. And I think it becomes a psychological thing, too, with people. It's like, oh, I got to change that clock. I hate it. I'm going to lose an hour of sleep. Well, this time around, you're not. In the spring, you will.
Exactly.
When you turn it ahead. And part of the problem is we do 8 months of daylight savings time and just 4 months of standard time. So we're going to make this change here in early November, and then we're going to turn right around in March, and we're going to mess with it again, only 4 months apart. So.
And we're harming our health by doing it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, hey, I appreciate it. If people would like to talk more with the doctor, have any questions, or have any of the problems that we've talked about, reach out to the folks at Midwest Health Partners. And none of what we have talked about should be perceived as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your doctor first. And maybe it's this guy right here, Dr. Keith Rubicki of Midwest Health Partners. Before we go here, we have another guest in the studio here. She was observing. Tell me about Emily.
Well, Emily is a physician assistant student from Creighton University. She's originally from Colorado, and I have students with me every month, and I like to show them what we do on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. both in our practice and
So you made her come to the radio show this morning, too.
Yeah, because, you know, you're such a professional, I wanted her to witness that.
Well, who knows, Emily? You could be a radio host someday. Have her own Ask the Doctor segment on the radio. You never know. You should take that back to Colorado, right?
Exactly.
We'd be okay with that.
We'd be good.
Any way to spread great information. Dr. Keith Rubicki, thank you very much once again. Always look forward to it. We'll do it again next month. And again, if you missed a part of the conversation, we'll have it up on the podcast page a little bit later on. 7:53.
Let Johansson Greenhouse bring some holiday